Hello and welcome to the first All About MIMO podcast. I'm Rafe Blanford and with me is...
Steve Litchfield. And we'd like to, I say, welcome you not just to the podcast, but also to the site if you're new to MIMO and wonder what on earth MIMO is. I was in that position maybe a couple of times over the last year or two. MIMO is an operating system that has been growing underground, especially with Nokia's help, the N800, the N810, and the N900 is the latest incarnation of that. And Rafe is basically in charge of All About MIMO as a site. And Rafe, what are the expectations for the site and for this podcast?
Well, what we're looking to do with All About MIMO is to deliver a similar service for the MIMO platform as we have for the Symbian platform. Clearly, it's quite early days on MIMO, things are getting going. But as you also say, it has been around. And I've been a user right from the Nokia 770, which was the first internet tablet. But now we're sort of transitioning to MIMO becoming a mobile phone operating system, although we'll have more on that in the future. It's not really mobile phones, it's mobile computing, but it does have the ability to make phone calls. And so it's going more towards the mainstream, and therefore we want to start covering it. What we'll be doing is delivering news and information, reviews about products and software, and we've got a team of people writing for it. It'll be myself writing much of the news, but we'll also have another editor on the site, Tizer 2, who will be doing a lot of tutorial-based articles, and I'm sure we'll have guest starring from All About Symbian, Steve, and of course Ewan, and we're planning some more writers, so watch this space. Steve, I know you've already contributed one article to the site. You're going to be doing some more stuff for us?
A lot of the stuff I do does tend to be comparing different devices, different platforms, and generic mobile articles, which are just as applicable to devices like the N900 as to many of the more familiar Symbian devices. So yes, my name will be popping up every now and then. Now, the last weekend, Rafe was away, in a very important way, because it was the MIMO Summit in Amsterdam. 3 days packed full of content, as far as I can see, and there's quite a lot to get through. What we'd like to do here is for Rafe to lead you through in a fairly quick-fire fashion, so that if you weren't able to get there, and Rafe can fill you in. If you're still new to all this and finding your way amidst all the MIMO buzzwords, then do bear with us. A lot of these terms will become more familiar in future weeks and months. But Rafe, so do you want to take it away? What was announced on day one of the MIMO Summit?
Well, the first thing it's worth explaining about the MIMO Summit before we get to day one is what it actually is. And really, it's an event for the MIMO community. And MIMO is an open source platform. It's based on Debian and a lot of the components are open source. There are a very few bits and pieces that aren't open source for security reasons, maybe around the telephony package. But for all intents and purposes, it's a completely open source Linux-based platform that Nokia is using. And what it's been before is that open source community element has been very strong. And there's a realization that as you go towards the mass market, as you start to productize devices beyond what are essentially prototype experimental devices, which is what the previous internet tablets really were, in all honesty, there's a dichotomy here between the sort of traditional roots of MIMO as an open source grassroots community platform and something that's going to address the sort of consumer market. It needs to be a bit more productized, a bit more mature. And so we're seeing a sort of dichotomy between the old MIMO and the new MIMO, that sort of N900 is a step in between, and MIMO 6 will be the big step into the consumer space. And so there was this introduction of some of the concepts of MIMO 6, as well as, of course, introducing MIMO 5. So that's sort of the background for this summit. As I say, mainly developer-focused, very technical in a lot of senses. You know, you're in a technical conference when your user track, supposedly the most simple of it, drops into the command line in a session about personalizing your device in order to change the rotation speed of a transition.
I'll be coming back to the command line with a few questions later, I suspect, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you will. So, day one, what happened on day one? Well, the summit got off to a really exciting start as far as everybody attending it was concerned when Nokia announced that they'd be giving out 300 loaner devices of the N900, not available on the market yet. And so there was I don't think I've ever seen so many happy geeks in one place. And really, this is, I think, a great bit of marketing from Nokia. It ensures some immediate interest. Developers start hacking away. And indeed, there were things being produced at the summit as it was going on. There's plenty of blog posts on that. But I also think it's reflective of the way that Nokia is reaching out with MIMO to sort of try out new initiatives in terms of marketing. And also, how do you get the message out there? How do you get the buzz out there? So for people who come over from sort of the All About Symbian podcast, that is slightly different to what, you know, goes on in the Symbian world. And it actually, you know, reflects what Google have been trying out with Android. Motorola's done something similar, as has indeed Microsoft with Windows Mobile. So it's nice to see Nokia sort of trying this kind of thing.
And this, of course, used to happen in the old day, the early days of Symbian, when it was Symbian was Cyan Software, because I remember all the first Cyan Series 5s were essentially given away or sold at nominal cost to all the developers who wanted one ahead of mass market availability. So it's not a new idea, but yes, it is great to see it making a welcome comeback.
I knew Steve couldn't kick this podcast off without mentioning the Cyan word. But yeah, that's absolutely... But I do just want to underline sort of the buzz it created. So sort of the big highlights, I guess, of day one were the sort of MIMO 6 concepts being unveiled, and these actually are very limited in scope what we know about this, but it's what is the same from MIMO 5, it's the same wide VGA screen resolution and the OMAP 3 chipset platform, so a lot of the hardware remaining the same. However, there's going to be support for multi-touch and capacitive screens, and so that's really the big hardware announcement about MIMO 6. In terms of software, you're going to see a modification of the MIMO 5 home screen, which we haven't even had a chance to talk about on the podcast. But think of a big canvas with your phone as a viewing portal that you move around it. So almost the infinitely extendable and customizable desktop. And that's the center of your device. And rather than having an application grid-based layout for navigating, as we've traditionally seen in phones and mobile devices, it's sort of widget-centric in the language of Nokia. What that really means, it's very much, you know, it's not fixed in a 3x3 grid. It's widgets that you can place all over a desktop and then, as I say, scroll around it. So the desktop is bigger than the screen at any one size. And sort of the example we saw was about representative of 12 screen sizes. MIMO 5, of course, is somewhere in between that with its current desktop, known as the panoramic desktop, which is effectively four desktops stitched side to side. There's also going to be full support for portrait mode, which the N900 MIMO 5 does not have comprehensively at the moment, just in photo viewing and in the phone application. And so that's a big step forward to making it sort of a mass consumer offering. Having that kind of functionality, I think, is a very important one.
It does sound very RAM hungry, Rafe. What sort of RAM requirements will these devices have?
Well, that's absolutely right. Even MIMO 5, we're talking 256 megabytes. And it's worth stressing that MIMO is very much a mobile computing platform as opposed to, I would say, a smartphone platform. And that means it has greater hardware requirements, which is why it is based on the OMAP 3 chipset. That's a generation ahead of all the current Nokia Symbian phones. It's actually the same you'll find in the Satio and the Samsung i8910 phones. But that is a significant enhancement in terms of the hardware capabilities. And that's reflective in the reason it's very quick. It has transitions. It looks graphically extremely slick. And that's one thing that really stands out about the UI playing with the N900. So yes, you're quite right. It is quite resource heavy, which is also the reason it's on high-end devices only. And even then, it's not on every high-end device. We're still going to be seeing high-end Symbian devices. It really depends on how you define the term. That will change over time, and that's, I guess, a good topic for a future podcast.
Can I just, when you're talking about high-end devices there, I'm presuming from these specifications and resources that these high-end devices were mainly available SIM-free, i.e. they're not going to be branded and sold in high street shops. Is that right?
That is partly right, certainly with the N900, although there are some operator partners who will be subsidising it, but to a large extent that will be a much less of a pattern than it will be with current phones, and certainly you won't see the same degree of customization. You may see the odd operator widget on the home screen, but not sort of, I don't think, quite so much the top-down customization, which can go into quite a low level, as we know, on mobile phones in terms of Vodafying them or Orangifying them. You won't get that on MIMO 5. MIMO 6 does introduce some technologies that start allowing that to happen. That said, the personalization on MIMO 5, and even more so on MIMO 6, is very strong, similar to the theming on the Symbian phones. You can customize an awful lot. But to get back to sort of day one, and the sort of final big announcement from technical point of view was support of Qt to MIMO 5. Previously, this had just been a community-supported project. And the reason this is significant is it's because Nokia's, if you like, its developer environment of choice going forward. Indeed, MIMO 6, instead of being based on something called GDK+, is now going to be based on Qt for its application framework. And for consumers, what that means is you should have more consistent application experience between Symbian and MIMO, and also the desktop. For developers, it basically means there's a cross-platform development environment. We'll get into that more in due course, but really it's underlying Nokia's commitment to Qt, and also its commitment to MIMO in that it's getting the port on there as soon as possible. The final two things that were announced on day one, which was the kind of the Nokia day of the MIMO summit, was the fact that the N900 and MIMO 5 would shortly support the Ovi store, or perhaps the other way around. That should be by the end of the year, and that's a route to market for commercial applications for the N900. That contrasts with sort of open source community applications which come through a system called the repositories, and that's something on the phone which effectively acts a little bit that like the download catalogue that people will be familiar from Symbian phones, but it's entirely community driven in that the testing and quality assurance is done through MIMO.org, and you can upload through something called garage.mimo.org, and that will generally be only for free and sometimes open source applications, although there is the option to do closed source applications as well, I believe.
Are these repositories available now?
These repositories are available now, and indeed these are the only way really to get third-party applications on the phone. Now there's a couple of these. There's a sort of a Nokia official one, and then there's sort of the generic, it's called the extras repository, which is generally where the stuff that's been deemed stable and product ready is put by the community. There's also ones called extras testing and extras develop, which you'll hear us refer to on the site in the podcasting, which is where the more experimental applications go. And you have to specifically add those to your phone. So that's something that most end users won't be doing. Although having said that, most N900 users probably will, because they'll be fairly geeky. But the important point here is there's actually going to be two channels through which applications can get to the market, which I think could lead to some confusion, but does really reflect the dual heritage of MIMO coming from the open source side, but the realization that you need to bring in commercial stuff as well. And effectively, OviStore is for commercial stuff, although freeware can go that way as well, whereas the repositories are for open source community-generated stuff.
Why do you think it's going to take so long for them to get the Ovi stores to support the N900, given that the Ovi store is basically all XML and RSS based?
I suspect that's really a combination of making sure they test it properly and also making sure they've got some content available for it so it's ready to go. These things just don't always work out timing-wise, and they are doing some updates to Ovi store. And I suspect some of that is waiting on the N900 rather than produce something that's sort of only half an implementation. In order to tie these two avenues together, we're getting something called MIMO Select, which is really a marketing program to pick out the best applications from either OviStore or from the repositories and promote them to end users. I think this is something that's a great idea, because it sort of provides the knowledge to the end user that there are third-party applications available, and they're going to be promoted both on the device — there's a MIMO Select widget on the desktop by default — and also on the MIMO.nokia.com website. So that's something I'm particularly in favour of, and actually I'd like to see that extended to Nokia's other platform as well. So that sort of summarises day one, and on day two, of course, we went into the community stuff. And here there was quite a lot of questions around open source as a business model, and does Nokia really get it? I mean, this was partly sort of inspired by the fact we had a keynote from the Blender Foundation, which many people will know is a foundation that provides 3D tools for creating movies, and have actually created some of the first, if you like, open source movies, where all the production databases and all the imagery is available for people to download and use. And they were talking about how they'd used open source as a business model and how being open can work. And I think probably, you know, there were mixed reactions from the attendees there, but most people had said that Nokia had taken the time to learn over 2 years how to be a good open source citizen, and that's about contributing as well as taking. You know, open source is often perceived from a business point of view as a way of cutting costs and sharing development efforts, but it doesn't work if you're not a good community member, and that means contributing in the right way, maybe sponsoring some projects. And certainly for all I heard from you know, the feedback from people like the KDE developers who were there, and also other open source projects, you know, from the Mozilla Foundation, for example, that Nokia did get it and were actively being a very well-behaved community member. And comparisons were made to when IBM moved into open source about 5 to 10 years ago. And Nokia is in some ways the first of a really big consumer electronics manufacturers to move into this open source in a really big, significant way. I mean, we do have Google there, in a lot of ways. They contribute to a lot of projects that people don't really realize they're contributing to. But Nokia, as a more device or manufacturer-based company, is the first in many ways. That's certainly on that scale. And so it was interesting to get that insight. And, you know, there wasn't the pushback from the open source community that you might expect, essentially because Nokia had behaved in the right way. And although it's a fairly nebulous concept, it is important because it means that they can actually have a long-term relationship. And that's definitely a concern, I think, of the open source community when they're engaging with something which clearly is based on, you know, commercial reality and making money.
It's interesting, interesting days for Nokia, of course, because their heavy involvement in the Symbian Foundation, which they've now also open sourced as well. So they're involved in two big open source communities at the same time.
Absolutely. The Symbian Foundation is probably the biggest contribution of code ever into open source in a single go. And it was very apparent from, you know, a Nokia presentation we had that this is an overall strategy of Nokia about openness, and that they were playing with open source with MIMO, and a lot of the learnings from that went into the decision to make the Symbian Foundation and to open source that platform. And they will be playing off each other, and indeed there will be the common components like Qt, but also WebKit in both platforms. And I think that's what will emerge more and more strongly as we go forward, is that the sharings between Nokia's two platforms will only increase, to the extent that in one sense it will be difficult for developers at a certain level to really differentiate between them. There is, of course, always going to be some difference, with sort of Symbian being their primary platform serving the mass market, the sort of hundreds of millions of devices, and MIMO, at least for the time being restricted to, you know, maybe a couple of million devices in the first couple of years, and maybe moving up towards the 5 to 10 million devices in due course. But that's a very important point, Steve. Yes, absolutely. Yep. It's Nokia's open source strategy, and they fundamentally believe that openness is going to be very important to their business going forward. And it's essentially because the value is no longer in sort of low-level, you know, software components. It's going up into the user experience level, which is actually where a lot of this sort of unique Nokia code is coming from, at least on the MIMO platform, and actually similarly on the Symbian platform with Symbian 4. So, you know, a slight aside there, but excellent point.
Yeah, you wanted to mention on day 2, I gather, that one of the main things was the talking about user interfaces. And you put a note here that MIMO is designed to have a soul. What on earth is that about?
Well, this is exactly the point I was just making about the value and the software stack is moving upwards into the UI or the UX layer, depending on what you prefer to call it. And Nokia were very keen to sort of set up the fact that MIMO had a uniquely different feel to other platforms. It had a soul, so that you feel you could connect with the platform. And if you're being skeptical, you might say this is sort of the attempt to recreate the keenness around the iPhone platform, where people fall in love with a device and with the UX, and that's the main selling point. And certainly there's evidence there is that attempt in MIMO, and I was very impressed by the user interface and the user experience. There's still a way to go in places. I mean, it's not a completely consumer-ready platform in one sense, but there are some great examples of that. And what it essentially does, it's a very finger-friendly platform. You know, it's designed that you can use everything with your finger, and that's even more true actually in MIMO 6 than in MIMO 5. But it's also the little touches. A lot of thought has been going into it, and multitasking, which is front and central in MIMO. They show a little dashboard of the open applications and a little X button to close them. And the X button is quite small when you look at it and you think, I'll have to hit that quite accurately. But although the button itself is quite small because that's what looks good, the actual target area that you have to hit around the X button is bigger in reality than the actual X button is on the screen. So you don't have to hit it precisely. So it's that kind of little tweaks that go into it that are very important. And also it's in the way it sort of simplifies. I mean, that was a word we heard over and over again in the UI. And, you know, anyone who's used a Nokia Symbian device will know the UI can get quite complex, and it's hidden under lots of menus, particularly in S65th edition. And although there's changes coming there, there's an awful lot of options. And the irony is in MIMO 5, actually some of the settings aren't available, so there isn't as much functionality. But it doesn't seem to matter because they simplified down to the core components. I'm sure people are going to find some things that they miss, but that simplification does mean there's less interaction, less screen taps. And it's also a function of moving towards a mobile computing or a computing-like experience.
Can I ask about this multitasking? You're talking about an X button at the top of, presumably top right of each application. Does that send it to the background or does it close it? How does multitasking actually work?
So the X button will actually close an application as people would really expect. But in the top left-hand button, there's the sort of the task launcher button or the multitasking button. And what happens if you press that once you'll bring up a sort of an expose or an alt tab in Windows-like interface that sort of tiles the currently open applications across the screen versus sort of having them in a long list. And so it's a very easy to use, and it does emphasize the multitasking element of it. Indeed, within those little tiles, you can actually see the applications continuing to run. So, for example, if you've got a web page open with a YouTube video, you can actually see the YouTube video still playing. So it is very much true multitasking in contrast to a lot of the other mobile platforms. And it's really, when you see it, it's, you know, you sort of, there's a real wow factor to it.
Of course, it should be, just to put in there that we are from All About Symbian, and Symbian also has real-time true multitasking, just that you wouldn't necessarily see it in a when picking an app from a multitasking list.
That's absolutely right. But this is a great example of how MIMO is far more mobile computing-less and less smartphone-led. Symbian, as you quite say, is technically just as capable in multitasking terms, but it's the way that the UI presents it to the end user. If you try to do this thing on a mobile phone, it just wouldn't work as a concept, because, you know, with the one-handed in particular and so the glanceability, it's not really something that I think would work. You know, the task switching list as it is in Symbian at the moment is probably the right way to go. But with a mobile computing, you are expecting to switch windows much more frequently than you are on a sort of smartphone or a mobile phone. And the MIMO 5 UI reflects that. Incidentally, this same sort of task switcher in the top left-hand corner of the screen, you know, if you press it sort of effectively twice, you get taken to an application list, but you don't sort of get taken to a phone screen or the home screen as you do on the Symbian devices. So again, emphasize the fact it's mobile computing centric, with, you know, the phone just being an element of it. And I think, you know, people have asked me to compare the N97 and the N900, and I do think, really, because of their software, and it's not about the hardware as much as it's about the software, there really is a very different sort of philosophical direction from which the two platforms come from. And yes, it's difficult to pick up until you've actually tried the devices. And hopefully I give you an idea for it there. But what I also wanted to do with the day two summary is to give you some insight into the fact that is a very different UI and it is a very fresh feel. At the same time, there are little bits of it that are missing, both in terms of software and I think in some areas of the UI. And so this is a product that I would recommend, you know, for geeks who are particularly interested in this kind of thing. But as I say, I don't feel it's yet consumer ready. And and more to the point, you know, the two philosophies that we've been talking about, you know, the phone centric or the mobile computing centric, are for different groups of people. Most people just want something relatively simple, the phone centric approach. Some people want more, the mobile computing centric approach. And while I expect the mobile computing centric approach to grow over time, I actually think it's relatively limited, and there's still questions about how big that is as an addressable market. Perhaps even more importantly, regardless of the size of the devices we're talking about, I think a lot of people will want one mobile computing device, and they'll also carry a phone around with them. So it's, you know, a two-box solution, simply because of the different ways you use the devices. And it'll be interesting to watch this. And as I say, yeah, the vast majority of people are going to stick with phones because it's the, you know, it's about choosing the right tool for the job. And most people don't really need a mobile computing on the go, just as a lot of people may not own a laptop because they have a desktop, or own a laptop and don't have a desktop. And I think that hasn't come out enough in the material I've seen. So hopefully that gives you a good idea there.
Yeah, are we at the end of day two yet? Are we?
I think that's day two, well explained, with quite a few nice little asides there. Yeah. I'm sorry if this is coming across as a long list for people listening, but I want to try and give you a flavour of some of the announcements, and we'll come back to them, and we're very interested in having your feedback and questions, so let us know. So on day three, this was again the community day, and I've sort of lumped in some of the stuff I'm day two here. This was about seeing some of the third-party application from the community. There was K-Office, or a K-Office-based, I should say, mobile office application, which would allow you to view open document formats and Microsoft Office formats on the go.
And edit them?
Not editing yet, but it was being contributed to open source with the idea that a developer could pick it up, take it up and run with it. And it was interesting, open source, because of the heritage of MIMO, is far more apparent on the MIMO platform than it is on Symbian at this stage. And Symbian is now trying to build this heritage, so that's another interesting difference between the two. And I think Nokia will certainly try and apply some of the learnings from MIMO as much as it can to the Symbian Foundation, bearing in mind that it is just one member of the Symbian Foundation.
Okay.
Then there was something called eCoach, which was basically a one-man developer equivalent of Sports Tracker for doing GPS tracks. One of the ones that caught my eye actually was Blue MIMO, which allowed you to use the N900 either as a mouse or a keyboard for your computer. I mean, particularly interesting when you're maybe doing a presentation or want to use it as a playback music device when you're having a party. Also demonstrated is how it could be a games console. But that was sort of indicative of kind of some of the innovation, not necessarily commercial products that were being shown off. Another good example of that is OpenStreetMap to Go. I'm personally a big supporter of OpenStreetMap. I like the idea of sort of freeing geo data. But it was described how you could use this, not necessarily to view the open street maps, although you can, but actually to edit them on the go. And I think perhaps rather suggestive of the audience we had that someone said, yes, I've already been using it while I've been here, and I've added the building that we're in right now to OpenStreetMap. And that's what the tool enabled on the device. And I think that sort of says more than I can about the sort of audience that is going to be going after the N900. That's not really typical user behavior. We also got some insight into some of the extra Nokia applications. For example, the browser. We heard about how it was the full internet experience delivered via support for open standards. And believe me, it really does do that. It has support for things like, it does work on Gmail, Google Documents, and some of the other, you know, very heavy JavaScript and sort of Web 2.0 applications. Which, while a lot of mobile browsers can make a stab at, they can't necessarily do very well. But because of the sort of higher screen resolution and the true standard support, it did manage. There was also the support for Flash 9.2 in the browser, not Flashlight, which you typically get on mobile devices. Again, underlining the mobile computing side of things. I think the last thing that's worth mentioning on day three, I mean, there's an awful lot that I've skipped right over here, particularly with regards to the sort of the community efforts around fixing bugs in Fremantle, which there's was a lot going on. But I just want to mention, as an example of the architectural design of MIMO 5, there's something called Telepathy, which is based on an open source project, or indeed it is an open source project. And this is the way that instant messaging and messaging has been integrated into the device, and we're talking SMS, also Skype IM, but it's based on an architecture that has plugins, which means you can add any number of potential messaging providers, and that can be everything from IRC, ICQ, MSN, Yahoo, Skype, as I already said. Now, Nokia have developed a certain number themselves, which happens to be SMS, also the Skype IM, and obviously Ovi chat IM or Nokia chat. They haven't done MMS, so the N900 doesn't support MMS, which will cause waves in some places. Again, I don't really think it's a big deal because this isn't, you know, a consumer ready platform. In theory it could get added, but I would hope it's something that Nokia add before they take to the mass market. It's just something you need to be aware of. If MMS is important to you, don't get the N900, obviously. You know, we saw the similar discussion around the iPhone, and no one really complained about that. It was a debating point, maybe, and I'm sure it will be on the N900 too. But what's the important thing about this telepathy is it used a lot of open source components from the upstream in order to be able to have it develop more quickly and a very elegant architecture. So sitting on the N900 right now, I have the capability to connect to, I think, about 20 different IM networks, which I think is a big contrast to what we typically see on a mobile device. And again, it's reflective of the heritage from the open source, from the mobile computing background, you know, the benefits of having upstream open source. And it's quite elegant in design. I mean, it's things like it does connection sharing. It actually has the ability to delete contacts offline and store them in a cache. And when you go back online, it will then delete them from the appropriate IM service. And it actually ties into the device's address book, which, again, another sort of highlight. You can merge contacts from different IM providers with your traditional contacts database to create a sort of a unified address book with full status support. We've talked a lot about the social address book on All About Symbian in the past in podcasts, and this is really the first Nokia product to deliver it for real. There are still some problems, particularly when it comes around to merging contacts, but it's very similar in some senses to the synergy we've seen for Palm Pre, and also the approach that Inc have taken on some of their hands that's trying to merge things and mash things together. And, you know, frankly, it's a very elegant solution, works very well, although I would again say it's something that's probably over the top for most typical users. Of course, the hand users will love this kind of stuff, but a lot of people, you know, they don't necessarily want that just now. A couple of years' time, it will come. And this is the interesting thing. I think we'll see a lot of things that are prototype or trialed in MIMO 5 and 6, which will then make their way to Symbian. I mean, you can almost see MIMO as a testbed for Nokia, which is more flexible. It can draw on sort of open source components, so things can get done more quickly and more cheaply. And then Nokia will pass the very best stuff on to the Symbian platform, and it'll be easy to do so because of the commonalities between them, with something like Qt as a development layer or web runtime, which is the other thing that was being heavily promoted. So hopefully that gives you, you know, a really good flavor of what the MIMO summit was about. And, you know, there's an awful lot to pick up on there, but hopefully that explains it in a bit more detail. So, you know, and people that are interested, please do follow All About MIMO. We're on Twitter as well. That's the RSS feed. We are going to be taking a sort of consumer-friendly approach, but we will, as we do on All About Symbian, address some of the technical issues as well for those that are interested in that kind of thing. And we aim to deliver a comprehensive service. And I think that's enough from me for now, Steve.
And talking of technical issues, now, before we finish the podcast, I just want to bring up a bit of experience from the past from Linux. I had a Linux netbook a year or so ago, and within a few weeks of using it, as soon as I started hitting problems and trying to go beyond the basics, I started getting into the command, having to go into the command line and do things like sudo apt-get -i/d or some really convoluted command lines entries just to try and make things happen and to fix installation problems. Then I had the Nokia N800, the MIMO 4 device, and again, after a few months of using it and updates, things started to go wrong, and I was instructed to go to the command line to do this, and such a repository was corrupt, and I simply gave up because I could not figure it out. How sure are we that in this new MIMO 5 world that users aren't going to need to know a bit of command line programming just to get by?
I think I can probably promise that you won't need it, although there is always a chance. Bear in mind, I haven't actually been using this device for very long. But I think that it is more mature. It's a bit more product ready. But at the same time, it is a step gap. I mean, Nokia have been at pains to describe, both at the MIMO Summit and at Nokia World, that this is step 4 of 5 for MIMO. And I would underline that, you know, the sort of consumer-ready, the product-ready stuff really comes out in MIMO 6. This doesn't mean you can't enjoy the N900, particularly as a geek who doesn't mind the odd bit of experimentation. But I think we are a step further on. So I would have thought the chances of you having to go near the terminal or the command line are significantly reduced. I won't say never, because actually the good news here is for people who do like to do that sort of thing, and certainly there's a significantly sized audience out there who just loves the fact that it's Linux running underneath it, they can play with the stuff. And as I say, there was an example of this. You know, the N900 has a whole bunch of transitions looking gorgeous, thanks basically to the graphics coprocessor that it has, you know, significantly more powerful than anything we've seen on Nokia Symbian devices, whereby I dropped into the command line, went to edit a file directly into the from the command line to change the speed of one of the transitions. And of course, most people don't need to do that, won't need to go near it. But for those who do want it, it does have this benefit, this flexibility. So there is an external application built into the phone, which does actually manage to remind me that I've managed to miss out one of the really big points about the MIMO Summit. Which was platform security getting announced for MIMO 6. And again, this is reflective of the fact that we're moving from an open source into, you know, product ready, consumer ready, or mass market ready. And when I say mass market, I mean, you know, not just a sort of a prototype experimental device. And the N900 really is between the two. And platform security, people immediately start thinking things like DRM, and it's true. It will enable things like Comes With Music or Nokia Music Store, which MIMO 5 does not support because it does not have the sort of built-in platform security. But it's also about things like application permissions. So, you know, currently you could download something from a repository and it could do just about anything to your device without any restrictions or any alerts. Now, obviously, if we're talking end users, that's not a terribly good thing because you could...
And presumably to other people's own devices as well, yes, via Bluetooth and email and SMS.
Yes, potentially it could do things there. I mean, I think the concern here would be that you're downloading an application for the repository and it might start sending SMS messages or access your contacts database and send it to someone without really giving you any warning that it was doing so. So platform security is also necessary for that sort of thing. We're also thinking things like enterprise applications or things that might involve encryption. And yes, I'm sorry to say, you know, things like locking for an operator. In a completely open platform, as you have with Open 5, it wouldn't be difficult to find the relevant bit that's doing the locking and sort of conveniently unlock it, whereas if you have platform security, they can hide that away at least a bit better. There are some details on All About MIMO on this platform security, so Nokia are taking a very reasonable approach, I feel, and in general, apart from a few people who felt that it meant Nokia couldn't use the GPL3 license, which is quite true, they're going to be using LGPL instead. They're taking a pretty reasonable attitude with platform security, and they're using the sort of trusted computing platform, which Linux people will know about. But I would urge you to check out the details, and Nokia asking for feedback on it. But the most exciting bit of it, as far as sort of people who like the open stuff are concerned, is that the MIMO 6 devices will have two modes, one of which will be sort of closed or the sort of commercial ready, and one of which will be completely open, as you have now. So you'll still have the option to do whatever you like, load up your own kernels, your own OSs, you know, fiddle to your heart's content. And users will actually have the choice to switch between those two modes. Now, obviously, when you do that, you will lose some functionality if you're going from sort of the security managed mode to the fully open mode. You know, DRM will stop working, the files won't work, whatever. But I would applaud Nokia for giving people the choice there. It's clearly a controversial area, and as I say, I'm not an expert in this domain. It is based on the sort of access control principles that we already have in Linux with multi-users, and Nokia building some stuff on top of that. They're going to be open sourcing the entire security framework and platform so people can understand how it works and follow along. But I would urge you, as I say, I'm not an expert. Go and find out more if you wish to and contribute feedback. And that's the other thing that Nokia emphasized throughout the whole event. You know, they're willing to listen, they want feedback, and you know, certainly the evidence is so far in terms of the open source people who are there, Nokia already doing that and have been very good about listening, as I think we've also started to see the signs in the Symbian world indeed as well. So sorry, a bit more of an aside there. that genuinely is the last interruption, I think, for me, at least from details from the MIMO summit.
Yeah, there's masses more from Rafe and the team, though, on allaboutmimo.com. And we, as Rafe said, we would love your feedback in terms of comments there as well. I think we're out of time for this podcast, but it's been a great introduction, Rafe, to MIMO 5 and to what the summit was all about. And I'm sure there's more to come.
That's right. It's probably worth saying at this point that we're not planning to do All About MIMO podcast weekly. I'm going to try and then get in some different guests so we can have occasional podcasts from different people. And we'll look at doing something, you know, once a month, maybe a little bit more frequently. I have got a couple more lined up, and, you know, we'll try and do more of that. And we'll certainly look at doing one a bit more around the N900 when some more of the All About Symbian team have had a chance to play with. And I'll get in some outside guests as well. But if you have got any feedback on what you'd like to see on the podcast, or if you'd like to be a guest, if you're a developer and would like to come on the podcast, we record it over Skype, so you'd be very welcome. And I'm very much looking for feedback. So there you go. I will shut up now, Steve. There you go.
Well, I'm going to shut up as well. you're the man here, Rafe. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
And goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford. Feedback to rafe@allaboutmimo.com via the website or via Twitter. There's plenty of methods. Just please do get in touch.